This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Maybe that's another reason to say that they're a team that's pushing all the right buttons, because even when they royally screw it up by making a, you know, very confusing, and I know that he wants his guys to play fearless. However, he's a rookie with four innings of big league experience. Not the spot to bring him in, and I think that that showed he hits the first guy he faces. If that's not nerves, what is? And the inning got away from him, but they bailed him out. So this team, they are rolling right now, and their confidence level is through the roof. So Cleveland had better, you know, dig their heels in and expect a brawl over the course of this series.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's it like going up against a team where, and A.J. Hinch's comments stick in my head, where it's like, game one, we're throwing Tarek Skubal, and then game two is pitching chaos. What's it like going up against that team when, like, you're basically saying now, hey, it's going to be Skubal and then a whole bunch of guys and you have no idea who's coming next?
That's right. Well, that's how they feel that they have the best opportunity to win. And I don't blame them. They got a really strong bullpen. I didn't realize how strong it was until we went in to play them. And, you know, they started to empty that pen. And at one point I looked over at Dwayne and I'm like, is there anybody that comes out of this pen that doesn't throw 98 with an absolute filthy breaking ball? I mean, what is going on here? I mean, this team, and there are a lot of names that you've never heard of, but boy, oh boy, did they get the job done. So AJ's going to ride that. He's going to ride Tarek, and then he's going to throw tons of bullpen guys at you. He doesn't need his starters going forward to get him that deep before he can empty that pen. And as we talked before, that the way that it's set up this round with the off days, that favors teams with really good bullpens. Guess what? That's Detroit. That's Cleveland. So it is going to be a battle of bullpens. And whoever executes at the highest level obviously is going to be the team that moves on. And it's going to be about clutch hitting. You know, you're probably not going to be able to sit back and pound home runs. So you're going to have to manufacture some runs. You're going to have to put some people in motion. We know both teams can swipe a bag. You know, Detroit, one of the really good teams going first to third. You know, good base runners, that stuff's going to matter in this series because the pitching, especially when you, you know, when you get into those bullpens, is so strong.
All right, it's a total homework question. Is there something special about playing playoff baseball in Cleveland compared to anywhere else and maybe even compared to the regular season?
Shoot. Yeah. I mean, I can't really pick out better atmospheres. I really couldn't, you know, I mean, I played with Arizona. I played with Arizona in, you know, at home. That was a great atmosphere. But there was something about Cleveland in those years. You know, that was a sellout streak. That was,
right. That
was, you know, a June 2nd Tuesday night game against Oakland. It was sold out. I mean, the atmosphere was ridiculously electric during the regular season, let alone the playoffs in that city. Yeah, that's the thing, because that city is so – and, you know, was and is so hungry for a winner and a championship, you know, that and listen, they got it with the Cavs, but let's be honest. I think the Cavs are probably third in the pecking order. It's Browns win Super Bowl, Cleveland wins World Series, and then Cavs win NBA championship. And they got one. That was great. And the city shut down. We were there for it, which was the coolest thing. We were, you know – we had flown in that Sunday and landed at Burke Lakefront and got to the hotel downtown right at the end of the first quarter. So I got to watch that game, and I got to go out on the streets. It was one of the most surreal settings and surreal walks around town that I've ever had. People that you would be diving behind dumpsters the next day if you were going to run into them in an alley, you were hugging and high-fiving that night. It was incredible, incredible, and so well-behaved. Nobody was flipping cars, putting things, you know, setting things on fire. It was one of the coolest experiences that I have ever had to be a part of that. Of course, then we were there for the parade. So, you know, and we got all jammed up trying to get into the ballpark because the parade got delayed. And there were so many people downtown that the parade route got too narrow and everything got backed up. I mean, it was crazy. I remember pulling into because they would let me park in the players' lot. Mike Segi would always allow me to park my rental in the players' lot. And I remember pulling in behind Jason Kipnis. And we were getting there so late. I mean, it was a show-and-go day for everybody because of that doggone parade. But all that to say, you know, Cleveland sports, Browns, you know, I'll say it reluctantly, guards. And then yeah, that's so tough for me to say. If you listen to our broadcast when we play you guys, it is Cleveland Ball Club. It's Clevelandness. I cannot jump on it.
I know people who are the same way with the Commanders. They refuse to refer to them as the Commanders.
I'm struggling with that all week.
They just refer to them as the Washington Football Team at every turn.
Yeah, right. They should have just kept it with the Washington Football Club. Commanders is lame. Lame. All these new names for, you know, the reasons in which they changed the name, they've gone to something completely lame across the board.
It was brought up to me that the Commanders was the worst thing because now you could call them the Washington Commies, which is just a whole nother problem.
Jesus Christ.
All right, BA. So when you look especially at the spectrum of baseball, it seems like the AL Central is back. It seems like we've got Kansas City rolling. We've got Detroit going up against the Guardians. Are we now past the days where everybody could stop pointing and laughing at the AL Central?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yes. And all you have to do is bring up the 2 points you just made, period. You got three teams left in the dance. There's four left. Three of the four, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, three of the four are AL Central teams. So you can all zip it about the AL Central stinking. 100%.
BA, as always, it is fun to talk to you. We enjoy our conversations with you. What do you got? Rutgers tomorrow? Good luck to your Cornhuskers tomorrow against Rutgers.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be a tough game. Rutgers are pretty good. I watched them play last week. That's going to be a handful. If Rutgers goes into Lincoln and beats them, I'm not going to be that surprised. But that's okay because I'm going to be on my way tomorrow to Bad Blood up in Atlanta, Georgia, WWE premium live event. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, reluctant tag team partners going up against the Bloodline. Can't wait for it. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, too.
Can't you get a gig working for them in the offseason?
I love how all in you are. This is awesome.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous. The kids cannot wait. They cannot wait to get out of school. They got a little play date set up after school today, and they can't. What time are we leaving tomorrow, Daddy, so we can get to Atlanta in Bad Blood? They are fired up for it.
See, I got to get the niece and nephew into this.
Yeah.
I got to do this.
Yeah.
All right, BA. We got to roll. Have fun tomorrow.
I appreciate it, but more than anything else, I appreciate you guys avoiding Browns talk with me again.
Well, that's what we're here for.
That is what our text chain is for.
If you don't have anything nice to say, let's move it right along.
Thank you, BA. We'll talk to you later. Right. Peace.
Bye, boys.
Bye, Brian.
See you, buddy.
Super friend of the show, Brian Anderson. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Here's Hody with 2020. Where you tell us the score of the Browns Commanders game on Sunday. He's right. It does still sound weird to say it.
It's a dumb name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's a silly name.
I'm not going to be shocked if they change it again.
Call them the Washington football team. I actually like the Washington football team. I thought that was actually a really cool name. And it might be because I'm a soccer fan to begin with, so I'm kind of used to Arsenal or Tottenham or one of those.
Are you good with Utah hockey?
I actually am.
And I don't think
cool
that's
logo.
That bad either.
And it's a cool logo on top of it.
For a generic thrown together thing, just to give them a year until they actually come up with a real name?
I mean, let's be real honest. It's going to be hard to beat the Kraken. I saw the logo come by when I was watching the game last night, and it had the Seattle Kraken logo up there with the eye and everything. I was like, oh, that's just cool. That's going to be tough.
There are some pretty cool nickname options for that Utah hockey team, though, that are sitting out there. That, you know, like, I don't know. I looked at them when they first came out, and they're still talking about, did they do the vote already? I don't know if they've done the vote or not yet.
I'm not plugged into Utah.
No, I don't think they have. I don't know. I kind of like Utah Venom. I think that's pretty cool.
That could work.
Utah Blizzard. Utah Mammoth is one. Utah Outlaws. Nah. Utah Venom. Love that. Utah Yeti. That's another one.
Cool word.
I do love the collars. The colors that they've gone with. It's rock black, salt white, mountain blue.
A little bit of an update for you. David Njoku back at practice today. So good. David Njoku practicing for the team today. Yesterday, according to multiple reports as well, was an off day for David Njoku. It was a planned off day for him. So good to see him back at practice today. Of course, Kevin Stefanski coming up in about that 120, 130 area, and we'll keep you up to date when the injury report hits.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up David Njoku because that is a part of my two keys in a lock. So here we go. Hody, you in on this? You ready? I want to make sure you're prepared.
I was born ready, Andy.
Oh, man. Should we let him in? It's up to you. You're the producer.
Oh, now you throw this now back at me.
Now it's on you.
You're the worst.
It could be okay. Just me and you. Time now for Baskin and Phelps presents Two Keys and a Lock. Of course, we're talking about Sunday's game between Washington and the Browns. We'll start with key number one, Dan Menigan.
Key number one. I will quote Sal Palantonio. I am sure it is one of your keys. I am sure it is one of Hody's keys. So we are all not copying each other's homework on this one. We know it's the case. Can you please run the ball? The whole league is running the ball. The whole league. We are living in a cover two world where they're putting a dome on your passing offense. Run the ball. I'll give you a number. Run the ball 25 times in this game. Please even get that up to 30. Help your quarterback. Help your offensive line. Establish the run. That is key number one.
Cody.
Key number one for me is if David Njoku returns, he needs to be a big option for Deshaun Watson to get the football to. David Njoku, I think, can make some big plays. We still haven't seen it yet, and especially in the Cowboys game. I think David Njoku will help bring some life into this offense.
Oh, I got a feeling this is all going to sound very similar today. Key number one for me is developing a relationship for that tight end to get a little bit more out of the tight end. And, you know, obviously, if David Njoku is back, that would be outstanding. But you're talking about a guy so far has just played one game this year with five targets and 44 yards. When you look at the big picture, the Browns have had 727 targets throughout the season. Just 22 have gone to the tight ends. Jordan Akins has, he's got the majority of them with 14. He's played in all four games. He does have 9 receptions, but still, he's only got 76 yards. I thought it was interesting to watch Blake Whitehart last week, really seeing his first time ever getting big time playing time. And he came through last week, had a really nice catch on the touchdown drive to start the game, and then he ended up with the touchdown. So, you know, Blake Whitehart could be a factor. It doesn't really matter if it's Whitehart or Akins or Njoku. They've got to get the tight end involved, not only offensively to get the ball up in the air to those guys and let them pick up a couple yards here and there, but they desperately need those guys to hang on the line to give your quarterback, Deshaun Watson, a little bit more time to get rid of the ball. That is key number one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, my friends, we present key number two, Dan Menigan.
Key number two for me, again, comes back to the offense. We mentioned this stat a little bit earlier. The Browns have converted a league low 20.8% of their third downs. They are 11 for 53 on third down. You cannot win football games when you are only converting 20% of your third downs. To put it in perspective, the Washington Commanders have converted a league-high 53.5% of their third downs. You need to sustain drives. You need to help your defense, and you need to get going on offense. You got to raise that number. Key number two for me, you got to succeed on third down. That number needs to get closer to 50% on third down if you want to beat this Commanders team.
The Fry Guy, you know who he is. Andrew Hody, key number two.
Key number two for me is the defensive line. I want to see some quarterback pressures. I want to see them essentially contain Jaden Daniels, because Jaden Daniels, we've seen great stuff from him. And I think it's going to be on the defensive line to step it up and make those plays. And I'd even throw JOK in there as well. Even though he's a linebacker, I think he's going to be really important going into Sunday's game.
And being healthy, I think, is going to be important for him, too, going into this game and being well-rested. So as I see this, my key number two, I hate to go back to it because you guys both kind of alluded to it, but it is obviously rushing the ball. And like I said, if key number one was having a tight end on the line to help things out, or two tight ends on the line to give Deshaun Watson a little help, well, I think it's also going to help the offensive line to run the ball if they can keep the tight ends out there too, because what do you know? You got more offensive line and you've got more ability to block for a running back. It's just, it's hard to look at the rushing numbers for the Browns with 379 yards on 88 carries through four games and realize that Jerome Ford is your leading rusher and your second leading rusher is your quarterback. They're not winning games. I'm sorry. I know Deshaun can run the ball, but it should just be periodically. He is the second leading rusher on this team right now with 22 carries, 117 yards. In fact, you want to take away the carries and look and see who's got them. I mean, Jameis Winston has four, so there you go. You got 26 at that point. So I don't know. I'm just looking at that. Boy, we got to get to lock. That really went by fast. Give me a lock. Go.
Lock in this game is, let's go with, I think Amari Cooper catches the touchdown in this game. So we'll go a touchdown to Amari Cooper. We'll go a touchdown to Jerry Jeudy as well. I think he also gets into the end zone. That's your lock. Two touchdowns thrown by Deshaun Watson, one to Cooper, one to Jeudy.
Cody, quick lock.
Quick lock is the Browns offense will finally score above 20 points for the first time this season. We haven't seen it yet.
All right. My lock for the game is Terry McLaurin will not have 100 yards in receiving in this game. In fact, I want to lock it in at under 50, and I cannot wait to watch him go up against Denzel Ward again. The two former teammates at Ohio State, you remember that Denzel had an interception where he cut in front of him a year ago. So pretty good stuff. It's McLaurin against Ward, and I hope we see it all day. My money is on Ward in that situation. McLaurin less than 100 yards in receiving. That's two keys and a lock. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more college football. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
You're going to if you get me yanked to do a meeting, I'm going to be so upset.
What do you think I'm going to do?
I don't know. You're going to get me yanked into a meeting.
No,
it's a Friday. It's too easy to get fired on a Friday.
No, stop. I'm not getting yanked in any meetings.
All right.
All right, my friend. We were talking about college football a little bit as well, and we're going to talk more about it with Tim May coming up at 1 o'clock. We love having him on from Letterman Row. We'll talk about Ohio State and Iowa. Big win for Ohio State last week over Michigan State. We are, kind of hard not to look ahead to Oregon, isn't it? I mean, come on, Buckeye fan. You're with me on this. You're thinking
it is.
You're thinking about Oregon. You know you are. We can say it. We can say it. Okay? We're good with it. Right? We can talk about it. But in Columbus, let's just keep the Oregon talk down. How's that sound?
That Iowa team can actually score points now, kinda. I mean, better than it used to. We're past the Kurt Ferentz is still there, but we're not living in the world of, there's nothing more important than a good punt. I know that philosophy is still there, but they can at least kind of score.
That was Jim Tressel's philosophy. The most important play in college football is the punt.
Kurt Ferentz agrees with you thoroughly.
I in some ways, I agree with it. I when I was back in Missoula, this is a long time ago, Don Reed, who was a guy who wrote the book, The Art of Passing, was not hesitant on third and long, maybe third and 21, because he had a quarterback that could do it. He would quick kick all the time. I love those little nuances of the game. The free kick after a fair catch, trying for, with no pressure off a tee, field goals at the end of a game. I saw that in high school a couple of years. Willoughby South did that. It had to be it had to be 10 years ago. And I'm pretty sure they won a game like that. I remember doing high school football, and I was like, hey, they're taking the free kick here at the end of the game. I love it. Fair catch, free kick, and then you get a chance for 3 points. You just kick it there on first down right after that. But, you never see that stuff. And so I don't know. I don't have a problem with somebody who relies on kicking and just finding the nuances in the game. And the other thing that's kind of the new kickoff rule really screws me up on the nuances. What do you got?
Okay, let me give you a little bit of news. So practicing today, David Njoku, Jedrick Wills practicing today, Jack Conklin practicing today.
Good.
Ethan Posick also practicing today. So it is seeming like more and more guys are getting back out there. Jordan Hicks not practicing. James Hudson not practicing.
But you said Njoku was back too?
Njoku practicing, Wills practicing, Conklin practicing. Ethan Posick practicing.
Hmm. All good news. Look, if they go out there with a full allotment of players that are supposed to be starters on offense, doesn't that make you feel so much better?
It does.
It does. We just haven't seen it. And I think I really want to believe that that's the problem. That's the reason the offense is off the field so quick. That's the reason third down efficiency is so bad. That's the reason Deshaun Watson doesn't have the opportunity to throw. I want to believe it. It's Friday. If there's going to be a day to believe it today.
Absolutely.
Because we're always miserable on Monday or Tuesday. So let's give Kevin Stefanski a full allotment of players who are actually scheduled and signed up to start the way they were in the beginning of the season. And, a lot of people are picking Washington in this game. And I'll be honest, I would too. I fear this game with the offensive line that we saw last week.
Well,
fear it. If we don't have that same offensive line, what if Nick Chubb shows up in uniform on Sunday? Oh, I wish the game was at home if that was the case. I'm not expecting Nick Chubb.
I would not hold your breath on that one.
Be cool, though, wouldn't it?
Sure, it'd be outstanding. It would be storybook, but it's also storybook. I don't think you see Nick Chubb this week. I wonder if you see him next week. So, also on the Washington side, running back Brian Robinson, who is dealing with an injury, Dan Quinn said he is trending in the right direction, but they would take it all the way to game day. So we're not going to have an official word on running back Brian Robinson until probably game day itself. So something to keep an eye on. Keep it locked in right here Sunday with Jonathan Peterlin and that whole group. Your show as well, the Browns pregame show on the official Browns radio network. You guys will have the injury report too. So something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we have it first, just so you know it.
And especially if you are a fantasy football player, something to keep an eye on because Commanders have been able to run the ball pretty decently. Also, a little bit of a nugget that came out, we will say.
Okay.
Courtesy of Cleveland's favorite son, Jason Lockenfora. Please let your groan out now so we could get it simultaneously.
I like Jason. Jason was a regular on the show for
I like Jason Lockenfora, too. He's a really nice guy.
So was Mike Lombardi, though.
But I know a lot of people who don't care for him. So anyway, he has this in his piece in the Washington Post. The winless Jacksonville Jaguars are starting to get calls about Christian Kirk, and numerous executives think another ugly loss or two by the Cleveland Browns will hasten Amari Cooper being dealt.
I see it. I can envision it. I won't be shocked if it happens. I just think if they can put things together in the next 2 weeks and maybe equal this thing out to 3-3 or even 2-4, I don't think they're going to blow the whole thing up. And if you have a game like this, and we talked about the injury news, that if the injury news isn't as devastating as it's been every week going into these games, there's a little bit more of a reason to kind of hang on and have hope to think that they might be able to slide their way back and get into the playoff picture. Like right now, I don't think there's a Browns fan out there that thinks this is a playoff team right now.
No.
No. So,
but I think you have a lot of Browns fans who are thinking it might be trending in the right direction.
Right, so the talk especially has been, though, is this a must win? They have to win this game or else now you start thinking about, or no, you start executing trades for guys that are not under contract after next year, guys that can help you win this year. I don't think this is the week.
No.
I think you can fall to 1-4 and then come back the next week after that. So, and then you're, but it's still the Eagles on the other side.
Yeah. So the
it doesn't get any easier.
So the deadline is November 4th. Right? I think it's the 5th?
It's Tuesday, Tuesday. So Sunday is the 3rd against the Chargers.
Right. Against the Chargers.
I think it's the 5th. Right. It's election day is what I think is right.
I think these next three games are going to be telling of what they do. I think if you go 2-1, I think the organization starts to feel better. You might see them go the other direction where they might be the ones calling for Christian Kirk. And I'm just picking that name out of the sky, by the way. I'm not pointing any direction. But you
November 5th at 4 o'clock, just so you know.
You get what I'm saying. If you go 2-1 there, okay. 3-0, yeah, of course. We all know how that goes. If you go 1-2, things get interesting because the next three games would be Washington, the Eagles, the Bengal game. Those are the three that would be interesting. You could throw the Baltimore game in there if you want to say 4. If you go 1-2 there, I think now you're starting to have Amari Cooper conversations where you're going, okay, is it maybe time for, you know, Deshaun Watson could get used to throwing to Jerry Jeudy. We're going to turn the reins over to Jerry Jeudy, that he's the number one wide receiver of this team. Maybe we start to look a little bit more toward the future. I think that's what we're doing. I want to say these next three games. I'm not saying must win or anything like that because that's ridiculous. We're not there. I think if you go 1-3 in the next three, or 1-2 in the next three, you got a real problem on your hands.
No,
if you go 2-1, we're having a different conversation.
I feel better about them. I know, I can't believe I'm saying this. I feel better about them based on that injury report you just gave me. I feel better about this week than I do against Philadelphia. And I feel like this is the opportunity. Like, this is the week that you're not supposed to win a game and you're going to win a game, right? We all know that.
Jim Schwartz gives rookie quarterbacks fits. That is the secret weapon of all of this, is that Jim Schwartz has always, always, always been a problem with rookie quarterbacks. And so this is another one of those moments that we could look at and go, all right, Jim Schwartz, it's time to work your magic here. It is time to throw a bunch of stuff at him, throw a bunch of pressure, throw a bunch of stuff, and make him really, really, really uncomfortable. And maybe that's the way to do it. Either that, how do you feel? Look, Deshaun Watson, I think PFF rated him as the 4th best quarterback after last week.
Fourth best quarterback in the AFC North or fourth best quarterback overall, where?
Last week. Yeah, last week he was the 4th best quarterback in football.
Of the week.
Correct.
Okay, of the week. Yeah. Okay.
How do you feel in a shootout? Let's say this starts turning into a track meet. You're kind of going up and down the field.
I don't see it. Like, I think our defense is better than their defense.
Right. Their defense is not good.
Right. So we have a really bad offense against a really bad defense?
Yes.
So now it becomes our decent defense
really
against
good, and it's a really good offense against a defense that has a history of being really good, but this season has been good. Good.
Do I think it's a shootout?
How do you feel in a track meet?
I don't think we get into one. I don't think we're not capable of having a shootout. We're not. Look at, we can't put up, we can't get past 20 points. I don't think the Browns are I just don't see it. I don't see the Browns scoring. 28 would be the absolute max that I see out of this offense in any given Sunday right now. Show me why I'm wrong, and I'm happy to be the first guy to say, all right, I was wrong. I said on Friday I don't think this team can get to 21, let alone 28. They need to maybe with a revamped offensive line. Right. Maybe if you use the tight ends a little bit more. Maybe if David Njoku's back. Maybe somewhere a couple weeks from now when we see Nick Chubb back and see where he's at percentage-wise, I can maybe envision more points out of this offense. I don't see them crossing the 20 line again. Do you? They've given you no reason to believe that they can cross over that line.
It's more you went up against a team last week that was missing Max Crosby. Jordan Wilkins had his way a little bit in the middle, pushed the pocket on that last play. You could see it very well that Jordan – that I just totally forgot his name. The defensive tackle who they signed at the Browns, Cameron Wilkins, that's his name, was able to push the pocket and do all that kind of good stuff. I think that is something worth noting because this Commanders team doesn't have that guy. This is not a good defense. It's just not. I mean, you've got year 15 Bobby Wagner out there trying to get everything covered. You've got all of this different stuff that, like, this Commanders team, because they got rid of Montez Sweat and because they moved on from Chase Young and because they made the moves that they did last year, doesn't have the defensive prowess that it once did. And so I think there is shootout potential because I think Washington's offense is pretty darn good. I think the Browns' defense is good as well, but Washington's offense is pretty darn good. Not to mention, the NFL kind of wants a shootout. So it makes me wonder, especially with the Thursday nighter being the shootout it is, I don't know if that's a Thursday night thing or if that's the NFL going, hey, guys, the defenses are getting a little too good here. Can we just, like, stop calling holding? Can we just, like, not totally make that rule?
I don't know. I think this
point
is
getting the head start for the left tackles.
I know we're talking about this, but I don't know if that's reality. I know we always have those conversations. We want to believe that's true. I just don't know.
It happened last year. We have the evidence to prove last year that the NFL said stop calling holding.
Would have been nice if they would have had that memo go out last week on the so-so call for Amari Cooper's called back touchdown.
Again, we have the evidence that the NFL in the past has said stop calling holding. It happened last year.
Tim May joins us next, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.